1 Corinthians chapter 13, as we continue to think on the theme for today, the greatest spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4. The Word of God says to us, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. Dearly beloved, let us focus our thoughts on that greatest spiritual gift of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which God freely bestows upon His people. The most excellent is charity or love. Now in this chapter, love is expressed in the older English word charity. We normally think of charity in terms of almsgiving, helping the poor. But charity has a very blessed meaning, and in this context is to be preferred to the word love. For love in the English language has multiple meanings. Oftentimes it is used in the context of lust and sinful lust. But here the word charity refers to something noble and pure. It is even expressed best to us in that well-known verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you and me, that He gave us His only begotten Son, that He sent Him down, and He, giving Himself for us, gives us eternal life in Him. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And no greater love than this there can ever be, that a man lay down his life for you. And think, God the Son lay down His life for you and me, while we were yet without strength, bankrupt morally, spiritually, while we were yet dead in sins, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. That is love. And that is the kind of love we must think of today. Not any kind of love. And the Word of God says, if we are Christians coming to church, children of God, we have received that love, haven't we? If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now this is easier spoken than practiced. But I pray that by the end of this morning, we all would have learned that Oh, there is such a great blessing, this gift of God-like love that God alone can give to you and me and implant it in our hearts and give us a new outlook, a new disposition, that we may live lives different from before. Our Lord Jesus, at the end of his ministry, said this to the disciples. Disciples whom he would soon be leaving, he says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. How can the world know?" And if the world doesn't see that kind of Christ-like love in us, then our being Christians has failed. So often it is said, we don't like to go to that church because the people there do not show that Christ-like love. Now let us take heed. Our love must not be just confined to a certain circle of people. We are to love all people. And how can this be? It's very difficult. We are to love others, including enemies. Now that is very, very difficult. If you will turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 43, there our Lord himself has good words for us. Please look at the Word of God yourself, for in the reading, God speaks to you. Dear friends, here the Lord Jesus Christ himself says to you in Matthew 6:43. He says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." But Jesus, our Lord, says, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends his rain on the just and on the unjust." Verse 46, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute and greet your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" Conclusion: be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen. Our Lord Jesus referred to the teaching of that day. The teachers acknowledged in Jewry taught this. These are the Pharisees and the scribes. Love ourselves, the Jews. We are the chosen race. Hate our enemies. Now that kind of teaching, of course, was nowhere in the Bible. But they misinterpreted the Bible. Of course, the Jews are the chosen race. But to love our own, to hate others, to hate enemies, is part of the root of today's ongoing trouble in the Middle East. That hatred between Jews and Arabs can never be taken away until they are able to come to the realization that unless verse 44 of Matthew chapter 6 applies. When Jews and Arabs have come to the realization that there is one God, one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, only one name whereby we must be saved, dear friends, that is the solution to the Middle East conflict, not by accords, whether signed in Oslo or in Washington, not by the peacemaking process that is going on fervently today. Matthew 6:44 says, "I say to you, If you want to solve the problem of conflict in any place, love your enemies. How can that be? Very difficult. But you know, the Lord Jesus doesn't just teach us easy things. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, it is possible for us to learn even to love our enemies. Verse 44 again, bless them that curse you. How can it be? In Christ. Possible. Yes. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. The Lord was addressing His own people. They looked upon non-Jews as outsiders, outcasts. Even they use the term dogs. You are just useless people. And they thought that they were honoring God in so doing. How erroneous was the teaching of the Pharisees. I pray and trust and believe that there are no Pharisees in this church today. Dear friends, God has shown us that wonderful love. What for? The Lord Jesus died for us. What for? In order to win us and redeem us back to God, to be in the family, what for? That we may be a witness to others who still do not know. Apostle Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Oh yes, we have received love of God. What for? In order that love may fill our hearts, transform our lives, and make us to be a blessing to others who are still outside, who do not know anything of the love of God. That is the purpose. And how can it be if we behave like others, tit for tat, in everything that we do? You do me good, I do you good. That is not the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. God loved us while we were yet unloving, unlovable. Indeed, we were yet far away, enemies of God, and God has given us that love. Today, in this life, God shows His love and common grace to all. Look at verses 45 and 46. We are to learn from this verse how we may truly be children of God. You say, yes, I am a child of God. Of course, praise the Lord. You are saved. You are now a child of God. Now, verse 45 says, that you may be. Are you? Yes. All right. Let's listen. You may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. God is impartial in His common grace. He sends the rain generally on all mankind according to His grace and mercy. He sends rain and sunshine. What for? In order that crops may grow. In order that men may prosper in this life. Now, if so, we must learn the lesson that we are to be like the Heavenly Father to all men. God is kind. That is the principle of love. If God is kind to us, we must learn to be kind to others. Now, let us turn back. I want to refer again to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And ponder again this word charity. What do you mean by charity? As I said, I repeat so that you will not leave this hall forgetful. Charity is a description of God's love implanted in our hearts to give us the kindly disposition of mind. You understand what that means? We have decided, the heart is fixed, that we are to have a different disposition towards other people. Not that critical, unkind, fault-finding disposition in the heart that is ever ready to confront, to find fault with others. Charity Verse 4. Suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Now these are all rather difficult to understand, isn't it? Because it is expressions that we don't often use. Now let me explain. To the world is very foolish. But when the Holy Spirit of wisdom begins to explain to us, it becomes very clear. Verse 4 says, charity, or the love of God in your heart, causes you to be able to endure injury, insult. Now, you follow? Because you have received the love of God and your disposition to others is different, you are able to be long-suffering. Verse 4. Long-suffering. Somebody says an unkind word about you. Normally, you get very insulted, hot, angry, resentful. But this verse says no. When there is that charity, you endure it. Without resentment. Why? Because the thought is, I have sinned so much against God, and God has freely forgiven me. Can I not tolerate this? Not, as it were, suffering a lot, but just seeing it as something that normally happens because that person perhaps does not know the love of God. And I am here as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I therefore must show forth the love of God. Charity suffereth long. There is that warm, large-heartedness in your heart. Do you have it? Ready to favor another? Of course, it is a favor. He has said something unkind. I don't retaliate. Only the love of God in you can cause you to be that humble. The same verse says, charity envieth not. There are some people who are born more envious, jealous, unhappy when others do well. Do you ever have that feeling? Your rival is getting ahead of you. Someone doesn't like his neighbor in the HDB flat. He's doing so well, he even lets out the air from his tire. You read that in the newspaper. Why did he do it when he was arrested by the video camera? It was only because of envy. Now, dear friends, let us learn the lesson of love. If my neighbor is doing better, someone, my rival, is getting on ahead, the Christ-like response is, rejoice with them that rejoice. Can you? Now, this is very difficult, isn't it? As I said, we are not here to learn easy things. Those easy things don't need teaching, don't need learning. It just comes naturally to hate others, to be jealous, to be envious, and to do evil things. Comes naturally. Here we are to learn the lessons of the Holy Spirit. The best gift is charity. Seek this gift. And when others do well, go. Rejoice with them. Congratulate them. Ah, that it will change your life, won't it? And change his life. Charity vaunteth not itself. What do you mean by vaunteth not? Charity does not make you boastful and proud and arrogant. Sometimes there are some people who talk nothing but the wonderful achievements of their own life or their children's wonderful achievement. And they like to talk so much as though nothing else happened. But when there is charity, it says, you are no longer arrogant and proud. Self-important. Don't walk around as though you are the only person that matters. Dear friends, the sooner we forget this, the better. In lowliness of mind, says the Apostle Paul, how to have a lowly mind? Charity in the heart. the love of God filling my heart, that I know that I'm a recipient of God's love and mercy, I must therefore show it to others. In lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than themselves, this is the best cure for disturbance in the church, disharmony in the church, so often because exchange of words. I think I know better. I will tell you that you ought to do this and that and the other. Dear friends, charity vaunteth not itself. Now we go on to verse 5. Let's look at that. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. How about that? When there is the love of God filling your heart, you do not behave unseemly. To superiors, how do you behave? With respect and reverence. To equals, always with a kindly affection. To inferiors, with consideration. Now that is the way we should behave if the love of God is in our heart. Charity seeketh not her own. We do not operate on the advantage to self in everything. I do this because there is something good coming back to me. Advantage, advantage, in, never out. Dear friends, why? Because a Christian must be a different person. A Christian must no longer operate at the level of the world. Paul says, if you're a Christian, you can say this, I am crucified with Christ. Not literally, but I am dead with Christ. My old self is crucified on the cross. Nevertheless, you see me, I live. Yet not I, not my old self, but what? Christ liveth in me. Can it be possible when we understand coming to Jesus means I say goodbye to my old self? Christ Jesus comes into my life because He died for me. I'm baptized into Him. I rise with Him. His new life comes into me. I acknowledge Him. My life is no longer my own. Galatians 2:20. You remember that verse? I am crucified with Christ. So self-advancement, self-seeking, ambition, regardless of all others, must never, never rule in our lives. That is verse 5. Not easily provoked. Please don't blame parents. Many people say, I'm like that because I'm like my father. Of course, you're like your father. But remember, every child of God is also child of a heavenly father. Why wouldn't you say, I'm like my heavenly father? Ah, that's much better, isn't it? My heavenly father is so kind, so loving, so patient, so long-suffering with me. He forgives me every time I offend him. He's ever ready to hear my prayer and forgive me of all my trespasses. That's my Heavenly Father. So if we claim to have God as our Father, be like Him. Be like God the Father, so kind that others seeing you will give glory to Him. Now we come to verse 6. Please see. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. We all are delighted whenever a thing is done for the truth of God. Are you not pleased to hear that the rezoning of the church in Vancouver is done, is approved? Another church is to be established? Are you not pleased to see that in Saipan Island, over 50 are coming for baptism this Easter? And until now, over 500 have been baptized. Does this not please you? Do you rejoice? This is truth. This is the outreach of the gospel. Do you have a part? When there is the love of God in you, you rejoice in all these things. There's a church in Perth growing. There's a Bible center established. Does it please you? Verse 6, again I read to you. If you have the love of God, you rejoice not in iniquity. Anything that is wrong, anything that is sinful, will not cause you to be happy, to be delighted. No, no, no. Not those things will cause you to be grieved. For Christ died for us. Therefore, we must go to propagate His truth. And all that promote that truth must cause us to rejoice in Him. Verse 7. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. All things for the glory of God, that is understood, that is to be read into this verse. This verse is not to suggest to you that you believe anything and everything. Not at all. In other words, if somebody tells you something obviously is an untrue thing, something that is deceptive, you don't quote this verse and say, believe all things. Not at all, dear friends. God has given us a sound mind. God has given us wisdom of discernment. This verse says, you bear all things for the sake of your brethren, for the sake of those you are reaching out to. You bear it with them. Be patient with them. Believe all things that they tell you as long as you are able to give Him the benefit of the doubt. Yes? Believe all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things, so that you may win that man, that person, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Oh, dear friends, therefore let us strive for the best gift, love of God to fill our hearts. I want to turn back again, so as we come to the conclusion, back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. As our Lord has the last word for us this morning, we will return home rejoicing that the Lord has spoken to our hearts. Matthew chapter 5. All right. Matthew 5, 46 to 48. Again. You see, life is never free from problems and difficulties. For wherever there are people, there are problems. In my ministry of going around the world many times to these various churches, oftentimes it is to solve people problems. And there are so many difficulties because there are people. And people are different. And people have different opinions, different understandings, different ways of doing things. And when there is not that charity in the heart, the love of Christ that reigns in the heart, to give them the kindly disposition, one wrong word can break up a church. So that is my experience. One wrong word from one person causes a family to leave the church. Happens all the time. One wrong word from this person to the other person and they stop speaking to each other. How can it be? Dear friends, we have to learn. Life is full of problems, isn't it? Oh, dear friends, many things assail us daily, but today's teaching, today's lesson is very appropriate for all of us. How do we react to any given situation? As I said, the normal, natural way is tit for tat. You do this, I do that. It is an automatic reflex. You're good to me, I'm good to you. You're not good to me, I'm not good to you. That kind of thing does not work in the Christian context. God saved us to make us to be His servants and to be ambassadors. How do you behave as an ambassador? We all know that well-known ambassador called Professor Tommy Cole. He is the most excellent ambassador. And he gives us a few clues. He says, when you go to a foreign country, the first thing is praise the people there. Say the nice things about them. You're an ambassador. Then you tell them the good things, the true things about your own country. And you make friends for your country. That's the purpose of an ambassador. If you are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, your function is to win others into the kingdom of God. That's your purpose as an ambassador. How can you be if it is tit for tat? No, dear friends, there must be a different way of operation. Our response and our reaction is not dependent on what others say. That is the first thing you've got to note here. Because he says this, I will do this to him. It must not be. My response and reaction must not come from some force or factor outside of me. It must be within me. Charity in the heart, the love of God constraining, filling my heart. I already have a different disposition. Do you have that? Christ died for my sins. He loves me. I did not deserve that love. Now he says, go and tell others about that love. How are you going to tell others about that love if you don't show that love? For love is not words. Love is actions, attitudes, relationships, charity. The way we deal with others must be as the way God deals with us. That is the pattern. If God has been so kind to me, let me begin to be kind to others, to treat them with love and charity, for God did the same for us while we were yet sinners, right? While we were yet enemies, God came to us. Then you say, can we not do the same to someone else? Don't look at him like an enemy. Look at him as someone who needs the love of God. Look at a person who is confronting you as something, somebody to whom you can be a blessing today. So you see, our response must not be dependent on how others treat us for that day. Oh, dear friends, some people will say, oh, what a wretched day I have today. If only I did not meet that person and hear his unkind words and receive his unkind remarks, then my whole day is finished. Does it happen to you? I think it is a common everyday experience. It ought not to be. Ought not to be. A child of God must have that reinforcement of the love of God in his heart. That no matter what others say, others do, as long as you are right with God, even to be persecuted, even to suffer for righteousness. Somebody has said something wrongly to you, but it is very hurtful, very discouraging, and you get very angry. But the Bible says no. Blessed are you if people do that to you wrongly, and you can bear it, and at the same time, you're kind to him. Oh, that will heap coals of fire on his head. You know that. Don't retaliate, therefore. What is your response? I want to quote that verse again. Galatians 2:20. I want to get angry. I want to get very angry with the person. I want to retaliate and tell him off and get even with him. No, dear friends, don't do it because why? Because you are a child of God. And Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Don't get angry within me. My old self, don't get the upper hand. My old Adam is in me, of course. We all got to live with that old Adam. The old self, still in me, of course. But when you look at Galatians 2:20, it says,
Don't. You are crucified with Christ. Who? The old person. The one who gets very angry easily. Don't get angry because you're dead with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Let us live for Him every day, dear friends. Let us go about our business rejoicing in the love of God, rejoicing that we can be servants of God, rejoicing that we can be ambassadors to show the loving kindness of God. How can you show the loving kindness except to someone who has done something wrong to you? When you do that, it makes your day. It makes His day. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And if Christ liveth in you, there must be the love of God flooding your heart, flowing from our heart, even as streams of living water flowing to others. What? Love of God. Love of God. The others may see that you are different. You are different. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Him who loved me, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Is it a reality? Your salvation? That Jesus Christ really died for you and lives in you? How can you prove it to be real? Whenever you are provoked, you say, I am crucified with Christ. Whenever you are tempted to lose your temper, don't. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet I live for Him, for the Lord Jesus. He loved me and gave Himself for me. And if so, I must love others. This is so true and so logical, so reasonable, and yet so little done, isn't it so? Dear friends, let us think of this higher life that God can give to us. Rethink, reorder our lives. Why should our responses be determined by somebody outside? Why should the way I behave be influenced by an event of the day? It ought not to be. But we should be the master of that situation. And we should be in control on ourselves, always to be master of every situation. What others think about us, what others say about us may be cruel, may be unkind, but let it be untrue. Right? If it is untrue, you're not bothered. You are not disturbed. You don't get angry. No. We therefore do not respond unkindly because he's unkind, I'm doubly unkind. That is the way of the world. Never retaliate. Never use hateful words and hateful thoughts. What produced these things? The one who rules in our heart. And we say, Christ Jesus lives in me. He rules in my heart. Therefore, away with all the old methods. Let Christ rule daily, not on Sunday, not today only, every day. Tomorrow, back to school. Tomorrow, back to work. Into the world. There you are. You'll be tempted. You'll be tested. Does Christ really live in you tomorrow, Tuesday, right through the week, every day? Christ lives in me and He rules my heart. Why, dear friends, is it impossible? Is it? The Lord says, with me, nothing is impossible. With men, impossible, not with God. Dear friends, we repeat that verse we said this morning. 1 Corinthians 13:13. I'd like to say that as we close. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Ready, everybody, saying, 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Once again, 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let us pray. Father in heaven, teach us the lesson of charity. The charity which comes out of a loving heart implanted in us by the Lord Jesus Christ.
that he loved us and gave himself for us, that he died for us even while we were sinners and enemies. Lord, may we, being filled with that love, go forth to be thy servants, even to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are still without hope, without salvation. O Lord, and how can we do it? For love alone can conquer. Love alone can convert others to thee. Fill us, therefore, with that God-like love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.